are Locked On Giants, your daily San Francisco Giants podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Welcome into this Wednesday, March 3rd edition of the Locked On Rockies podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. As always, I'm your host of the podcast, Ryan Latica. I appreciate you tuning in, and we got a special guest on this edition of the Locked On Rockies podcast, Ben Kaspic, who is the host of the Locked On Giants podcast. Ben, how are you doing today?
I'm doing well. How are you?
I'm doing all right. I appreciate you coming on, and we're going to give you a little bit of an NL West crossover series here at the Locked On MLB Network. We're going to essentially do a crossover with every single other host of the NL West in the Locked On Podcast Network. So this week it's going to be Locked On Rockies and Locked On Giants, obviously. So the way that this episode is kind of going to work is we are going to, in the first couple segments, ask each other kind of team-centric questions that we have prepared just to kind of give you a little bit of a preview on the other host's team. And then in the third segment, we're just kind of going to give our takes on the offseason overall and kind of where we think that both of our teams are going to finish in the NL West in 2021. So without further ado, let's just kind of get started. I am going to go first here. So Ben, you're going to be on the hot seat first. Is that okay?
Oh yeah.
All right. Awesome. So Ben, just kind of overall, talking about the offseason that the San Francisco Giants have had, you know, how do you kind of feel about the offseason just overall?
I feel like it was a good offseason for the Giants. They made a lot of major league signings. I think they made 9 or 10 major league signings, the headliner being Tommy La Stella, signed to a 3-year $18.75 million deal. And that really helps shore up their infield situation a little bit. And in the starting rotation, they had an interesting offseason in that they brought a lot of guys in on 1-year deals. And so their entire starting rotation is basically set to reach free agency at the end of the year. However, you know, in 2021, it figures to be an interesting rotation that, in my opinion, has a lot of upside. They brought in guys like Aaron Sanchez and Alex Wood, who have had really good seasons in their careers coming off of not so good years last year with injuries and whatnot. But, you know, their rotation has a lot of upside at this point. And, you know, they also brought in Jake McGee. I know we'll talk about him later, a reliever. They brought in a couple more relievers. So it was good that they were active. I know we're going to talk about the Rockies not being very active. But, you know, the Giants, they had some needs and they took care of it. And so it's good to see that in this kind of environment where there's not a lot of activity going on.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, you mentioned Tommy La Stella specifically. I mean, since getting out of Chicago, he's really kind of proven himself to be a really solid major league bat. For those of you who maybe aren't as familiar with Tommy La Stella, he spent 2019 and 2020 with the Oakland A's and the Los Angeles Angels, where he slashed .289, .356, and .471 with an .827 OPS and a .122 OPS plus. In 135 games. He also added 21 homers in that span too. And I've mentioned on this podcast, you know, he's kind of the guy that the Rockies really should have been going after, you know, kind of that really solid supporting cast bat. And the Giants are able to lock him up for a 3-year contract. Kind of what are your expectations for Tommy La Stella going forward? And where do you envision him playing? Do you envision him to be an everyday player?
Well, that remains to be seen, but at the very least, he's going to be in there every day against right-handed starting pitchers. And, you know, even when there's a left-handed starter on the mound and he may not start, what we saw last year, you know, it's a new regime here in San Francisco. Gabe Kapler was in his first year. Even if he's not starting, he's going to make an appearance off the bench later in the game and probably substitute in and maybe get a couple at bats anyway, even if he didn't start. So I think he's probably going to platoon, not start against left-handed starters, but you know, there's obviously more right-handed pitchers in the game, so he would get a lot of plate appearances that way. So my expectation is actually that he is going to platoon with Evan Longoria at third base a lot, because Evan Longoria, frankly, has not been a key player for the Giants ever since he came over. He has the big name, but the production just hasn't been there. And if you look at the splits versus righties and versus lefties, he's struggled a lot more versus righties. And so if you plug in Tommy La Stella, who's pretty lethal quietly against right-handed pitching, I think that really improves their lineup, not having to have Longoria start there. And then at second base, which is where a lot of people figure La Stella would play, and I think he will play some there also, they have Donovan Solano and Wilmer Flores, who have performed a lot better than Longoria. And so that's why I think having La Stella platoon at third makes a lot more sense than having him, you know, take at bats away from Donovan Solano, who's just been like a sensation ever since coming over to the Giants. So La Stella is versatile. He can also play first. Brandon Belt is dealing with a little bit of a, you know, I think he had surgery in the offseason, so he may not be ready for opening day. So that's the beauty of La Stella, right? He can play first, second, and third, and he's a grinder. I mean, I don't know if you've looked too closely at the numbers, but man, like, he does not strike out at all. His strikeout rate last year was like 5%, which was the lowest in baseball. And he walks a lot. So his strikeout to walk ratio was actually by far the best in baseball last year. I know it was a small sample, but even if you go the last couple of years. So, you know, like you said, supporting cast, I think he's a really good supporting player. And my expectation is he'll hit at the top of the lineup and be a pest for opposing pitchers for the next few years.
Absolutely. Now I kind of want to move on a little bit to the situation behind the plate. As I'm sure most of you are familiar, Buster Posey did opt out of the 2020 season, excuse me. He does have plans to return to the Giants lineup in 2021, as well as behind the plate. And Joey Bart, who has been a big deal in San Francisco, one of their top catching prospects, he made his major league debut last year. Is that correct?
Correct. Yeah.
Yeah. So Joey Bart, he's already having debuted. So kind of just what is your outlook on the catching situation in San Francisco as it pertains to these two guys?
Yeah. So it's complicated, and it was complicated last year. As soon as Posey opted out, everyone around here kind of wanted Joey Bart to just like start the season in the major leagues. The issue is he had only had a few at bats above the A-ball level. He had only had a few double A at bats at the end of 2019. And so the team said, you know, they didn't think he was ready. And fans around here like didn't believe that and thought it was service time manipulation. So, you know, the Giants start the year with Chadwick Tromp and Tyler Heineman as their catchers, which is a big drop off from having Posey all those years. So they don't do well, predictably. And then Bart eventually comes up. And I think what we saw was that he wasn't ready. He really did not look ready. He struggled mightily. He struck out a lot. He did not walk. Like, he was chasing everything. He struggled defensively. He struggled to like get on the same page with pitchers. There was visible frustration with Johnny Cueto when Bart wasn't putting down the right signs. And Cueto, you know, he's like a rhythm guy. So Bart just looked like a guy who was not ready to be in the majors. So fast forward to now, Posey coming back is a huge help to the Giants, because despite Bart being such a great prospect, ultimately they just did not get any production out of that position in 2020. And Posey, even in his decline years, is still a quality major league player. And so there's optimism about him just helping the 2021 Giants, who are aiming to compete. They're not just like in some rebuild. They're kind of transitioning on the fly, and they're trying to compete. And so he definitely helps them compete. And the beauty is now, you know, they can bring up Bart when they think he's ready, and they can kind of let him get his feet wet, you know, and not just force him into a starting role like he was last year. So they have really good catching depth right now, like, because they have Posey back. They signed Kurt Casale, who's a veteran catcher who handles left-handed pitching well, has a good reputation for handling pitchers well. And they also have Bart on their 40 man, and they have Chadwick Tromp, who proved to be a pretty good defensive catcher last year. So to wrap it up, there's one more factor, which is that in the 2020 draft, the Giants actually took a catcher with their first round pick, 13th overall, Patrick Bailey. And so not only do they have Bart and Posey and all these others, they also now have a first round catcher also in their minor league system. So they're kind of loaded right now with catching depth, which, you know, it'll be interesting to see how it plays out. Last thing I'll say, Posey, there's a club option for 2022, but it's expensive. So that'll likely be declined, and he will probably become a free agent for the first time in his career.
Well, that'll certainly be interesting to see Buster Posey on the free agent market for the first time ever.
Yeah.
So that kind of wraps up all the questions that I had planned for Ben in this segment. Now in the second segment of today's episode, he will kind of put me on the hot seat about the Colorado Rockies. But first, before that happens, I do want to tell you a little bit about the Built Bar. It's the best tasting protein bar available, and there are 18 amazing flavors out there, including caramel brownie, cherry barcia, apple almond crisp, and so much more. So you can be sure to find the best one for you. They even have a cookies and cream bar for you cookie lovers out there. It only has 130 calories, 17 grams of protein, and only 5 grams of sugar. You also get a free cooler with any purchase while supplies last. Go to builtbar.com and use promo code LOCKEDON20 to get 20% off your next order. Welcome back into this crossover episode between the Locked On Rockies podcast and the Locked On Giants podcast. I am Ryan Latica of Locked On Rockies, joined by Ben Kaspic of Locked On Giants. And so we just kind of gave you a little preview of what's to come for the San Francisco Giants in 2021. Now it'll be up to Ben to kind of grill me about, you know, some of the bigger things that have happened for the Rockies this offseason.
Yeah, and I'm looking forward to that. The first question I have, the question on everybody's mind, is, of course, the trade of Nolan Arenado. So this guy terrorized the Giants for many years, and I think a lot of Giants fans are very pleased that he and Paul Goldschmidt are no longer in the division. So Nolan Arenado signed this big contract with the Rockies just not very long ago at all. And then a year or two into the deal, they end up trading him, paying some of his salary, and not getting what many consider to be that great of a return. So can you just talk about what led to this Nolan Arenado trade, and what is your reaction to it?
Well, my immediate reaction, I was not surprised. I was incredibly sad and disappointed, because it's an end of an era in Colorado. I mean, Nolan Arenado was the face of this franchise for 8 years, obviously having won the 8 consecutive Gold Gloves. But I mean, for those Giants fans listening into this episode who maybe aren't as privy to the details of what happened, essentially the relationship between Nolan Arenado and Jeff Breidich started to sour almost immediately after he signed the extension. He signed the contract extension right before spring training started in 2019. Now, essentially what went into him signing that extension was he and Jeff Breidich had a handshake agreement, essentially, that Jeff Breidich, the general manager, would continue to build around the team and continue to build around Nolan Arenado to make them into a perennial contender. Because you'll remember, right before the 2019 season started, the Rockies had come off of 2 consecutive postseason appearances. They'd only won one game, that wild card game against the Cubs. They'd just gotten swept by the Brewers in the NLDS. But, you know, emotions were high in Colorado. And Nolan was like, you know, yeah, you know, I want to be a part of this. Just make sure we keep building, because I want to keep winning. You know, winning is important to Nolan. And, you know, of course, why wouldn't it be? But essentially, after Jeff Breidich signed him to that extension, he got him to agree to that extension, he just stopped building around Nolan altogether. Now, the Rockies have not signed a single major league free agent since Daniel Murphy 2 years ago. Now, wow. Yeah, exactly. And that is kind of what pissed Nolan off. I mean, you know, he signed under the impression that the Rockies were going to build around him, and it just didn't happen. And so it was revealed in the press conference that the Rockies put on at, you know, a couple days after they traded him, that Nolan had asked for a trade 9 months after he signed the extension. So, you know, pretty much right after the season ended, Nolan asked for this trade. And so, you know, trade rumors are kind of, you know, swirling around throughout last off season. And it finally kind of culminated in the trade to the Cardinals, a couple weeks ago. But the Rockies did not get a single top 100 prospect in baseball back for Arenado. They also sent the Cardinals $50 million to take him. And, you know, one of the things that actually appeared today was a tweet from John Heyman earlier today. I guess it'll be yesterday. We're recording this on March the 2nd. This will be posted on the 3rd. So yesterday for all you people listening in, but John Heyman just tweeted out earlier this morning saying the Rockies are said not to have the budget for any big signing at the moment. So barring some big change, there won't be an extension coming anytime soon for superstar shortstop Trevor Story. Now, this is something that the Rockies were kind of, you know, spinning this Arenado trade as, you know, I mean, yeah, it sucks to trade your star player, but at least, you know, we can kind of go out and, you know, at least try to sign Trevor Story to an extension. Why Trevor Story would want to stick around, I have absolutely no idea after, you know, witnessing this all go on and seeing how this team does not have any kind of direction whatsoever. But that was at least kind of the underlying motive is, you know, that frees up payroll to sign Trevor Story to an extension. But now John Heyman tweets out earlier today that now the Rockies don't have any big budget for Trevor Story, even after freeing up all that payroll for Arenado. So essentially, to make a long story short, it's a total mess in Colorado right now. Jeff Breidich has screwed this up as royally as he possibly could have. He torpedoed the contention window essentially from 2017 to 2018. And it culminated in one postseason win. The wild card win against the Chicago Cubs.
Wow, what a mess. I actually watched that press conference just because I was intrigued. It's like watching a car crash or something. I wanted to see what they had to say about that trade. And it was really an awkward and depressing press conference.
Yeah, and that's the thing, too. I don't want to cut you off, but like, you know, the thing with that press conference was the entire baseball landscape is finally understanding the incompetence that the Rockies have been dealing with under this regime, Dick Monfort and Jeff Breidich. Like, Rockies fans have been dealing with this for, you know, God knows how long now, but now the national media and other teams are finally fully grasping the entirety of the ineptitude and the incompetence that's currently running the Colorado Rockies right now.
Right. And one of the questions that really stood out to me was when they asked Dick Monfort if he had ever thought about firing Jeff Breidich. And he was like, nope, never thought about it. Never even crossed my mind. So what do you do if you're a fan of the Rockies? Like, how do you, first of all, your reaction to him saying he's never considered replacing him? But then secondly, I mean, it has to do something with the owner, right? Like, if Dick Monfort is just like, you can't spend a dime, then what is a GM supposed to do? So what do you make of the he's never thought about firing him comment? And then also, what do you make of, how do you get out of this situation?
Yeah. Honestly, I'm not even kidding when I say this, this is probably one of the most hopeless times to be following the Colorado Rockies in their history since they became a team in 1993. Just the fact that, you know, yeah, Jeff Breidich can misuse, you know, hundreds of millions of dollars, you know, whiffing on free agent after free agent after free agent, you know, and just getting absolutely no value in return. And the fact that he can still have a job, you know, that his owner has not even considered firing him. That just says it all right there, doesn't it? I mean, you know,
it really does.
I mean, yeah, I mean, he's, you know, he's whiffed on guys like Wade Davis, on Brian Shaw, who was a total disaster, Jake McGee, who, you know, had that one kind of solid season with the Rockies. Wade Davis was pretty good in 2018 as well. Jeff Breidich has, you know, misused hundreds of millions of dollars. It obviously is not going to cost him his job. Even the fact that they're so hamstrung right now that the team only has a $41 million payroll, on the books for next year, and they still can't afford to sign Trevor Story. I mean, what are we even doing here? You know, but this is, I mean, again, this is the entire baseball landscape finally understanding, because Dick Monfort, this is probably something you don't know either. Dick Monfort has never fired anybody. Except for Clint Hurdle, Walt Weiss, former Rockies manager, he was not fired. He left. Dan O'Dowd, he was not fired. He left. And now, you know, Jeff Breidich, the current Rockies general manager, under no indications is on the hot seat right now. And so this is just kind of, you know, everybody finally understanding how the Rockies are run fundamentally. Dick Monfort runs this team as his big happy family. He doesn't fire anybody. And we saw this offseason, he chose his general manager over his star third baseman, which is not something that would fly on 29 other teams in Major League Baseball, but it does on the Colorado Rockies.
Man, sounds like a depressing time to be around. And it happened really fast. I know these guys were running the show and there was a lot of incompetence going on with those free agent signings. Like, it's unbelievable. If you look at the numbers, like you've been alluding to, the numbers they spent and the production they got, but is there anything at all that gives you any kind of hope for this franchise? Like, whether it's a prospect coming up through the system, is there anything you're like looking forward to in 2021? Even if it means like Dick Monfort is going to have a revelation and decide he needs to move on from Jeff Breidich, like anything at all.
Yeah. I mean, honestly, you know, like I said earlier, this is probably, you know, one of, if not the most hopeless times to be a follower of the Colorado Rockies at this point. And that's just true. I mean, you know, you saw it, you know, with Dick Monfort saying he's not going to fire Jeff Breidich. I'm under the impression and the belief that the Rockies will not be good again until they have new ownership and new, you know, leadership. You know, Dick Monfort is kind of just trying to, you know, kind of trying to co-opt what goes on from the wings. He will, you know, he refuses to hire a president of baseball operations to kind of run the show and hold Jeff Breidich accountable, you know, for what's happened. But I mean, they're this two man band running the show right now who, you know, they just think that they're the smartest people in the room and they don't think that they have to explain themselves to anybody. You know, I mean, literally the direct quote from Jeff Breidich was, most of these people criticizing us, they've never even led anything in their lives, you know? And so that kind of just gives you a little bit of insight into how Jeff Breidich thinks about criticism. He thinks he's above it. He thinks he doesn't need to explain himself to anybody. And that's why, you know, I think that, you know, this team is not going to go anywhere until they have new leadership. They have a new owner and a new general manager, and that doesn't appear to be happening anytime soon. You know, why Trevor Story would want to stick around after watching all this, I have absolutely no idea. And, you know, I'd be surprised if he wanted to. He's slated to be a free agent after this upcoming season. And then what happens? You know, I mean, the Rockies have been consistently one of the worst offenses in baseball over the last few years. And all they did was subtract this offseason. They lost David Dahl, who, you know, is actually a pretty big loss, in my opinion, when they non-tendered him.
And then they
traded away Nolan Arenado. And the audacity for Dick Monfort to sit up there and say he still believes the Rockies have a truly talented team, it just blows my mind. You know, obviously no one has showed them these offensive, like, you know, have they watched the team at all? I mean, the offense has not been good and all they did was subtract. So, and, you know, and Trevor Story by all, you know, in all likelihood is not going to be around after this year. So, I mean, honestly, there's not a whole lot of areas you can look for hope as a Rockies fan at this point.
Oof. Well, that's all the questions I had specifically about the Rockies, but I look forward in the next segment to kind of breaking down like where these teams fit into the NL West landscape, because as bad as the situation is, it's even tougher to exist in the NL West right now. So I'm looking forward to that.
Yeah, absolutely. And before we move on to that third segment, I want to tell you a little bit about betonline.ag as well. BetOnline is the fastest and easiest way to bet on all your sports action. Football might be over, but the NBA, college basketball, and the NHL are in full swing. And BetOnline even covers awards, TV shows, and reality TV, as well as updated odds and props on almost anything you can imagine. It has you covered for all the news, scores, and odds, and it's the best way to place your bets, and it's also free to sign up with the promo code LOCKEDON. So head on over to the website or use your mobile device to sign up today and receive your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. Bet Online, your online sports book experts. Welcome back into this Wednesday, March 3rd crossover edition of the Locked On Rockies and Locked On San Francisco Giants podcasts. I am your Locked On Rockies host, Ryan Latica, joined alongside by Ben Kaspic of Locked On Giants. So we just kind of discussed, you know, what has been happening with both of our teams specifically over the course of this offseason and heading into the relatively near future for both clubs. And now just kind of, you know, what do you kind of just make of this arms race that's been going on with the Dodgers and the Padres going into the 2021 season and beyond?
Well, I think it's good for baseball, first and foremost. The Padres are a really exciting and fun team. But as a Giants fan, you know, if you're the San Francisco Giants or the Rockies or the Diamondbacks, it's tough. I mean, it was already an impossible task to try to win this division. And now you add another team, it just makes it that much harder. So, I mean, it was a lot to watch what the Padres did this offseason, making all kinds of moves. I look forward to those games. I look forward to the challenge of having to face, you know, a Yu Darvish and a Blake Snell and a Chris Paddock and Joe Musgrove and Dinelson Lamet. I look forward to that. But the thing is, like, the way the baseball landscape is right now and the way the playoff format is right now, it's tough because as it is now, and this isn't how it was in 2020, you have to win the division in order to get a series. Otherwise, you have to go to the wild card game. And so to play 162 games and potentially only get that one playoff opportunity, one game, which in baseball, as you know, you can't really make a real determination about like a team's talent level based on one game. It's just kind of a coin flip. So it's tough. You're going to have to overcome the Rockies, or excuse me, the Padres and the Dodgers in order to win a division and actually get a playoff series. Like either of these two teams, the Giants and the Rockies, for at least like 3 years, it's hard to envision that even being possible. So I'm a fan of changing the playoff format. Existing in the NL West has made me in favor of at least expanding it a little bit. I don't know if you have any thoughts on that, but that's my take.
Yeah, I do. You know, that's obviously a discussion for a different day. You know, what the pros and cons of the expanded playoffs. I'm personally against the expanded playoffs. I think that you know, essentially what it boils down to is it decreases incentive for teams to spend on players and to, you know, keep paying players what they're worth. Because if a team can get into the postseason as an 82 win team, you know, we've already seen how greedy these owners have been over the last couple of years. You know, what incentive is there for them to actually improve their team when they say we're good enough to make the playoffs as is? But essentially, that's a conversation for a different day, I think. Going into this upcoming season, I kind of had the Giants pegged for third place in the NL West. You know, do you think that that's kind of a fair finishment for the Giants?
Yeah, I think any higher and I would call you crazy because of how good you're certainly not first place, and second place seems out of reach too. So yeah, I kind of pegged them for third as well. And unfortunately, that means the best you can do is the second wildcard team. Like that's kind of the nature of how the playoffs are right now. So that's why I'm in favor. I know it is a discussion for another day, but yeah, I have them finishing third. I think the Diamondbacks are in contention for that third spot. They didn't really get any better this offseason. So that's why I kind of have them fourth. But I think you and I are going to agree. I think the Rockies probably end up in the cellar and maybe with contending with the Pirates for the worst record in the National League. What are your thoughts on that?
Yeah. I mean, honestly, you know, it's no secret at this point. I think that the Rockies, you know, I would agree with you. I have the Rockies pegged as a last place team. It was kind of nice when the Rockies were, you know, only the fourth best team in the NL West, but, you know, now after subtracting, you know, their biggest key, you know, on offense, and not, you know, not doing anything to improve the team for the second straight year. I tend to agree with you. I think that the Rockies, you know, are destined for the cellar in the NOS. And I think that is going to be the case for a very long time in the foreseeable future as well. But do you have any closing thoughts, you know, about the Giants or about the division in general before we sign off here, Ben?
My closing thoughts, because my listeners know this, but you know, your listeners don't listen to my show. So they don't. But my thoughts are that look for the Giants to be a little more competitive than generally people think that they are. I thought it was really great that you mentioned how the Rockies have been a terrible offensive team. I think the general point of view has always been the Rockies are a great offensive team, no matter who their players are, because the numbers always look good playing in Coors Field, or at least they look inflated above what they would be if they were in like a neutral site. So indeed, the Rockies have had a bad offense for a number of years. But on the flip side of that, people assume the Giants have a bad offense too, but they were actually really, really good last year offensively. And so, you know, Mike Yastrzemski, we didn't mention him today, but he's kind of emerged as like a star player for the Giants. Alex Dickerson, who went off in a game against the Rockies in Coors Field last year, hit 3 home runs, very narrowly missed a 4th. Tommy La Stella at the top of the lineup, Buster Posey coming back. Brandon Belt had a huge season, and he's always been a capable offensive player. So look for the Giants to be more competitive than people think. That's kind of possibly contend for a playoff spot, have a winning record for the first time in 5 years. That's what I'm kind of, that's kind of my hot take, I guess, and my closing thought. Do you have any closing thoughts?
I mean, you know, for me, you know, all my listeners already, you know, kind of know how I feel about, you know, the state of the team at this point. And I think that I've done a pretty good job of expressing that for the Giants fans listening in on this episode as well, who may not be as intricately familiar with the whole situation with the Rockies. But yeah, I mean, honestly, you know, I think that I summed it up, you know, about as well as I possibly could have. I don't want to be talking your ear off for hours and hours on end today, but yeah, you know, I mean, it is, you know, certainly going to be an exciting year to watch for the San Francisco Giants, certainly for the Dodgers and the Padres as well, who, you know, by all indications are going to finish first and second in the NL West. And the Rockies are, you know, trending back toward mediocrity. And that's just kind of what it looks like for this at this point in time for the Rockies. But Ben, I just want to thank you for joining on. And I hope that all you guys listening in on this episode enjoyed this crossover.
Thanks for having me.
All right. So, and we will also have more episodes coming up for you later this week. I know I certainly will on Locked On Rockies, and I'm sure Ben will as well on Locked On Giants. Ben, where can they find you on social media?
At Ben Kaspic, KASPICK.
All right. Awesome. And you can follow
on Twitter. On Twitter.
Okay. Yeah. And you can also follow Locked On Rockies on Twitter at LO Rockies. You can follow my personal Twitter account as well at Ryan Latica. But thanks for tuning in. I hope you enjoyed it. And make sure to tune in for more Rockies and Giants news and analysis coming up later this week as well. Take care, guys.